Hello and welcome to Sprofcast, the English language for off cover no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm Reese Hewitt.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, hey Reese.
How are you?
Any particular reason for this change of identity?
I was told that his boss listens to this.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So give him a raise, I guess.
Give him a... You're not Reese anymore then.
In,
right.
Give me a raise.
And also that. That was an awkward intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not do that again. In this massive bonus edition, well, not bonus
edition.
Bonus
edition, just very busy.
Yeah, very busy. Brought to you, as you were saying earlier, in glorious mono. We've got 11, count them, sections. We're looking back at three games. We've got the regulars. We're looking forward to three games. We've got a new bit, which is also exciting, if, you know, other voices is a thing you like to hear. So, yeah.
Let's move on hastily.
right, okay. All right, we're going to start with Zbrojovka at home to Slavia Prague. And, spoilers, we lost.
It did not end well.
However,
looking at all the other results that Slavia are having, actually didn't end that badly.
No.
Think about it.
Also, it started very well. We were good for the first 15 minutes, weren't we?
Yeah, and then it all just sort of fell by the wayside, really.
Well, Slavia just stopped toying with us and started playing like the multiple champions they are. Didn't they, really? You know, they let us have a little bite of the cherry, a little bit of, wing-based action and a couple of sort of half chances, but...
Wing-based action.
That's right, yeah.
Me strutting up to TGI Fridays. essentially, we are still a long way from where you'd like to be as a team, despite the strong start that we've had to the season. And really, when Slavia come for you, they really come for you. And we can't compete even on a financial level.
No, what was your you did a bit of digging about Peter Olejinka.
Peter,
your stat of the day.
Yeah, Peter Olejinka's market value is actually higher than the entire squad value of Zbrojovka Brno.
Yeah.
So
it showed.
It's like 5.2 to 5.3 billion euros or something like that.
Yeah, it showed. I mean, yeah, as we were saying, we had a decent opening sort of 10, 15 minutes, and then Standard Tetzel, Czech international, Standard Tetzel gets two bites at the cherry in a goal mouth, scramble, gets the first, and then he turns provider for David Dodiera to head home the second.
Yeah.
And then you're sort of going, well, this is just damage limitation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know.
No, absolutely. I saw on the internet it described as a very Standard Tetzel goal, and I quite liked that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we had our, we had our moments.
Yeah, I mean in the first half we had a couple of half chances. There was a 35 yarder from Granechny that sort of flashed just wide, made its way through a massive crowd of players, and Patricia Stahl had a sort of a half chance for the near post flick from a corner, and there were seeds of success, but nothing growing into mighty oaks.
Bushels.
Yeah. Oaks of glory. Oaks of glory. That might be the title of this episode already, actually, but there we go.
Is that a Ted Leo and the Pharmacist's album name?
I don't know who that is, but
that's Hearts
possibly.
Of Oak, isn't it?
They're also the Ghanaian Football Club,
yeah.
Of course.
Oh, yes, of course, Hearts, yeah. You'd quite like that album, by the way.
No, all right.
However, I think one of the things to note, really, about this game, actually, is a bit more in terms of stadium management. Like, this was a huge crowd.
It was.
This was an insane crowd. What was the official attendance? 10,200, I think, or something
like
that.
Yeah, it wasn't that. They were shouting about it being a sellout. It wasn't a sellout, but...
I can believe it was a sellout in the sense that I think that some people who might have had tickets didn't turn up. Be that seasons,
maybe.
Be that certain sort of transfers. And you're also... I mean, I think it's every available seat as well, because you see the parts of the stadium that are just concrete, essentially.
Yes, but also if you looked to the left, to the main stand there, the front, like, seven or eight rows were pretty much empty on the left-hand stand, so, yeah.
Were we selling them, or was it there for to let people see? Because the problem is, if you go too low in that stadium,
this is why we had to keep all the flags down on
that
bit of wire. Like, it wasn't, we were just asked very nicely, can we put the flag down with everybody else's, which we did, and, yeah... stadium management.
Yeah. I was surprised that it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be to get a pint.
No.
And this is because they actually...
Apart from people standing in our bit, which was annoying, but, you know.
Yeah, I know. This is the problem, isn't it, as well? You have this, like, half of you is like, you know, in order for this club to thrive, we need good turnouts.
Yeah, we need
and
big
people.
Gates.
Yeah, and then the other
and
half of you is
people,
like...
what a bunch of bastards.
Where the fuck were you last year? You know, this thing. But it's been our bit. It's been well established that it's our bit for some time.
Damn right.
So you have this this conflict, I suppose. But actually, fair play to the club, TM, for putting on an extra bit where you could buy beer. Yeah. But also putting on two taps or machines in the shack.
Yeah, it was quick enough.
Because it's endured very fast to get a pint at Bohemians, and that was bigger than almost all of our attendances last season, for example. So pretty good on them.
Yeah.
The question is about how many people from these last couple of games actually stay, because...
Well, yeah, the next home game against Teplitz is going to be the acid test, because Teplitz are traditionally a very low attendance game because they're from miles and miles and miles away and are generally a very, very dull team and nobody cares.
Oh, that's true.
So, yeah, we'll think about that. We'll just finish rounding up this game very quickly. We go into the break 3-0 down because there is a Slavia breakers up 2-on-2 break and it ends with Oscar Dorley's shot hitting... Jutka Texel and deflecting into the net, which is rather a shame because Texel had been doing fairly okay since then. Before then. Start the second half. Ayham Owusu is sent off for bundling Musa Ali over. Is it a red card?
No.
But apparently VAR thinks it is. It's a yellow, certainly, but it's absolutely not a red. VAR thinks
it is. Did they appeal it?
I don't know. You mean post-game?
Yeah.
I don't know. They should do.
Because he appealed it on the pitch. I remember
it's
that.
It's not a red. It's not a red.
I don't
red.
Think it's a red at all. It wound up the right people, though. So that's what all that matters, isn't it?
Damn right, yeah. And then finally, Ivan Trantz arrives and sets up Christiehi to slam the ball home for 4-0, and that's that, pretty much.
Yeah, almost as if sending that guy off didn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
It's like the reversal of the Slavia game 2 seasons back, where they had the keeper sent off very early, and we still proceeded to be lucky to get out of that 0-0.
Yes, yeah. Right, so that was Slavia. We sort of rushed over that because it was almost a foregone conclusion. So let's go on.
I came in with a little bit of hope in my heart, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because you think, well, you know, you give them a go and you never know. And then after about 20 minutes, you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Probably should have seen this coming.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to go hurtling headfirst into the hot or not, if you're ready.
Oh, okay.
When Hot or Not gets here, we'll talk about amazing things, discussing how cool they are, do-do-do. We'll add some stuff that we don't like, da-na-na, and other stuff that we found out, ba-bum-bum. We'll tell you how hot or not they are. Da-na-na-na-na. No. You're looking confused.
No, I'm not. I feel like...
You feel like you know it.
Yeah, but I don't think I know it.
It is when the girls get hit by the young fresh fellows, which we cover in Bats vs. Cats.
Oh, I don't turn up to listen.
The reason I chuck that in is it is a particular favourite of departing drummer Philip Spieler.
Goodbye, Philip.
Have a good time in Zagreb. Doesn't really like my songs, loves that one. and the other reason I mentioned Philip is this is absolutely mad, right? He was arranging to sort of sort out his contract with his landlady or whatever. Got into conversation with her and mentioned that it would be sad because, you know, he was in a band and he was leaving and so on. Blah, blah, blah. And she mentioned that she was in a band when she was younger in the States. She's from the States. And Philip goes, oh yeah. And she sends him a YouTube link and it's Soul to Soul.
What?
Yeah, Philip's landlady was in Soul to Soul.
Eh?
And that's... now apparently she's a landlady in Bono. that was my reaction.
That
just,
is.
What?
Such a weird country.
Yeah. Anyway, that was that.
Hot or not.
Yeah, exactly. That should have been one of my hots, to be honest. That's absolutely incredible.
That is scorching.
Yeah. I've got a hot and a bonus hot.
Okay.
A very quick bonus one. My hot is Exeter City and the Stansfields, which you may have seen.
No, I have not
this
seen week.
Have you not seen this? Okay.
Oh, yes. Is this the number 9 thing?
It is, yeah. Uh-huh. If you are unaware of this, listener, Exeter City had a centre-forward called Adam Stansfield, and he scored many, many goals for them. He was their number 9. And he died of cancer at the age of 31. And Exeter City have a stand at their St. James's Park ground named after him. And they retired his number 9 shirt. They have reinstated the number 9 shirt because his son has just joined them on loan from Fulham and is also a centre-forward. So the Stansfield 9 Exeter shirt gets a lovely run out because his son is returning to, take his gone far too early father's place there. So.
Yeah. You really hope that he's not rubbish, don't you?
Yeah, you do, really. Jeff Stelling did a piece on this on like Sky Sports on Twitter, and he always mentioned the joke he always used to make whenever Adam Stansfield scored on Soccer Saturday. What do you think that joke is?
Is it some sort of Lisa?
That's right.
Is it Lisa? Lisa will be pretty pleased or something.
Absolutely
like that.
Spot on. Yes. Yeah. Good.
Good.
What do you got for us?
My hot this week is FC Rokycany.
Yes.
Of Divize A, who appear to have just made a Twitter account only because they're playing Slovan Liberec in the Cup next week. Their content, I'm not going to spoil it for everyone, but go find FC Rokycany on Twitter, because it's great. They've got everything. They've started overdubbing like Champions League videos with Czech text. They've done all these great graphics of their players like washing shirts and being at their normal jobs. Like, it's just a bunch of photos of lads in vans. Ah, it's quality.
If you can't be bothered to do that or can't be bothered to hit the translate tweet button, I have been promised by Adam Hurry that this will be on Football Clichés this Thursday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I tweeted it and tagged him in, and he DM'd me and said, "This is fucking great."
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah. So hopefully that'll be on Football Clichés on Thursday.
All right.
So.
Well, shout out to Football Clichés. Give us a mention. Give us a mention. Give us a mention. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
So Rokycany.
Yeah. I've got bonus hot.
Go on.
I've just started following Darren Huckabee on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Mainly because he's one of my all-time favourite COV players.
I know he is.
And his entire thing is just him drinking pints of very expensive Italian lager and captioning it like with his arm around former teammates, saying things like "hanging out with this legend." It's like, that's
is it
that is not a legend, Darren. That is Eric Fuglestadt. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like or like, you know, Paul Telfer or Chris Marsden or somebody.
I love it when your dad gets Twitter.
Yeah,
fantastic.
It's just like him looking, you know, grey-haired but trim, with a pint of Birra Moretti in a sunny pub garden somewhere. Absolutely loving life.
Does he do my least favourite thing in English, which is referring to like partner or friend that you see a lot as "this one"?
I think
on the beers with this one, took this one to the show tonight.
I don't think so. I think
awful.
I think it's just Mrs. H.
Mrs. H. That's good as well. Mrs. H. Yeah. Fantastic.
To which I can now throw my not in.
Go on.
Which is twitter.com, now thinking I want Norwich City content because I follow Darren Huckabee.
This is very Twitter-centric today, I like it. Yeah.
Also, as a bonus not, any account that is purely clips with the caption "stop it, insert player name here."
Yes, I'll
sick of it.
That. Yeah, take that.
Down
as well.
With this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Do you have a not?
Mine is quite frivolous, and I'm sorry, but it's been getting on my wick again. It's resurfaced after several years. It is the term golf shot.
What?
Golf shot.
Golf shot, really?
Yeah. So I've been talking to my dad because my dad's coming to see me in Brno. And my mum, of course. Yeah, that's how it works. But they're driving. Driving here as an excuse to basically get rid of my shit. Because they're sick of having all my old stuff in their house. And they would like to retire in peace without my frivolities.
It's been a few years now, has it?
It's been eight. Yeah. It's been eight. But one thing was that they had raised was, do you want your golf clubs? Because when I were a lad, because I'm from the northeast of Scotland, everyone played golf. So I played golf for a couple of years as a teenager. And I thought, well, I might take, you know, because the irons I had were still very good, take them once in a while up to the, you know, to the driving range with the lads, bucket of balls, couple of beers, be good. So I thought, you know what, I'll just, you know, watch a couple of golf things again, just because I can't remember how difficult it is. And every single golf chat, and this is PGA coverage, commentary, anyone that has a golf channel doing reviews or playthroughs and things like that, they always use the term golf shot. What other fucking shot is it? They go, oh, that's a golf shot. Of course it is. You're playing
right,
golf.
I understand.
No one would ever go, what, football strike? You just don't do that.
I don't know. The Americans might.
Yeah. And but they do it
what
in
a soccer score.
Ways. Yeah, we're not Americans. Yeah. And it's just, you see, you know, he's watching the Bosco Park. He's like, golf shot. Fuck off.
It
annoys me.
It does bleed into football in some ways. You know, people saying, you know, oh, there's a, you know, there's a strong culture of success at this football club. You know, when they sort of double up on that.
Yeah, but you would never use it in a sort of actions.
Yeah.
You know? That's,
yeah.
You would never
What a great Formula One lap that was.
This is, yeah, this is it. Like, because I get it. Golf swing, fair enough.
Mm.
Golf shot. And then they shout it from the stands as well. Like, golf shot. Anytime anyone on a PGA Tour takes a hauk of it, either someone goes, golf shot, or get in the hole. I enjoy Get in the Hole because
I've heard Get in the Hole.
Because
yeah.
It's like 400 yards away and it's immediately after the ball release. Get in the hole! Fair enough. Golf shot, no. Sorry, I just had to get that out of my chest today.
Fair enough. Yes, that was, wow. Okay, remarkable. Vanik?
Okay.
Vanik Ostrava, we went away. We didn't go away.
No,
it was
work.
It was Wednesday at 5, so
yeah.
We didn't go away. But how much of it did he see on TV? Did he manage to get a stream? Or
I eventually did. I had a very juttery stream because I don't have O2. I only have Kunsel telly, so I
right,
didn't have
yeah.
the didn't get the O2. So I was dodgy streaming it.
Yeah. Apparently, I still do have O2. I don't think I'm paying for it still, but apparently there I you know. Still there,
I think having to watch every Zbrojovka game on that channel during season 2020-21 is payment enough,
yeah,
frankly.
They've just gone, you know what, you can have it.
That was the only time I ever got out of the house for a solid year.
Yeah.
Right to yours, see us get beat, go home.
Yeah.
Ah, glory days.
In this one, we did not get beat. First half was very even, a little bit cagey. Quality wasn't great, but very even. Mm. Actually, probably about the same number of chances for each side, sort of three or four half chances, probably one decent proper chance per side.
What was really weird at the start was we changed things up as
it went
what we
into this
were
mad 4-5-1.
Yeah, when you had actually up the park as a left winger. Berkovets was injured as well, so you had
Shiman.
Shimian in goal, and there was a couple of other like Divišek was left back.
Yeah, pushing Granicny up as you said.
Yeah.
We started with Hadik up top by himself. Falter came in as a midfielder, and yeah, it was.
I mean, that's probably the talking point because there's no Kuba Reznicek. He was on the
bench.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. The first half was a bit back and forth, but at half time, Banik swapped out Motijani, who had a penalty shout turned down. It was not a penalty.
No,
it was Filip Soltek swinging his leg, missing Tijani, who just goes over anyway, mm-hmm. just to see if he can buy one. He comes off, and Nemanja Kuzmanovic comes on, the big Serb, as your you know, duty bound to call. He made the difference. Direct mm-hmm. running, aerial threat, slightly you know, slightly prematurely grey.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good look. And it was his cross eventually for Daniel Smejkal that opened the scoring with an absolutely appallingly unmarked header.
It's like,
this, by the way, is a theme we will return to.
Yeah, it was annoying because then as well you just have historic visions of Zbrojovka away and you're like, oh, here we go.
Mm.
But this is, I mean, this is now becoming a concern. This is becoming a real concern. Like, I, you know, maybe with the exception of a couple of the Slavia goals, everything we've conceded this season has been soft. Everything.
And also, all of Boleslav's goals coming from wide and mm-hmm. being headers, this one
yeah.
being that.
Yeah. Where the fuck was Shural? Like, Shural, you see him in the corner of the screen, he just seems to be running away from him.
Mm.
It's like, come on, Jesus the fuck.
He didn't have a great game.
Endel losing his man again. Like, it's just, it's not good.
Yeah. After that, however, the 4-5-1 with Ladi up top was abandoned, and on the hour, Reznicek, Texel, and Ali were sent on, and we went more direct. We did what we did against Boleslav. It's weird we can't start like this, but again, we're going to come back to this again.
Yeah.
Ali
is just, like, there's no way that he can't be direct, and this is why you need to have...
He's got one gear, and it's unbelievably fast and direct.
I don't know, like, it feels like Football Manager in some ways. Like, you just automatically just put him on the hour.
Yeah.
He's every time.
He's a slight cheat code, isn't he? Yeah. And surprise, surprise, we were rewarded with the Little Butcher equalising. It took a while to come. It was seven minutes to go. And Folsek's first act off the bench, who's brought on end of 82, and his first touch sends Kuba through on the left of the box. He's still got a lot to do.
Yeah.
It sends him a little bit out wide, but it's a lovely little, like, more powerful. Like, I was struggling to write down how to describe it. It's too powerful to be a dink.
Yeah.
But it's too placed to be a proper, you know, a proper wallop. It's a really lovely finish over Jan Laštovka. Jan Laštovka, by the way, who is still somehow alive and keeping goal for Banik about 300 years after leaving Spurs and Fulham.
Is he keeping goal?
Well, that's...
Because this is my overall... I mean, yes. Okay. I believe you could call it a... Can we call it a cultured finish? Are we allowed to call it a cultured finish?
Sure, let's call it a cultured finish.
I mean, I enjoyed the goal. I also very much enjoyed that after that, Reznicek went absolutely fucking mental and then just started running at the bench. Very into that.
Mm.
But, I mean... I'll come back to my thought on Jan Laštovka perhaps after you talk about what happens next.
Yeah, because on 88, it looks like we've got it won, actually, only for Reznicek's finish to be flagged offside. He was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, yeah.
But in the 90th minute, Reznicek's flicked header on finds Folsek.
Handsome ad.
Who finishes past Laštovka. Laštovka should absolutely stop it. It's a really weak effort to save it. He dives to his right. Weak wrists. It just sort of goes straight through him, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, because he's shite. No, seriously, there's a reason why he's 40. And
is it because he was born 40 years ago?
Well, yeah, but was let go as a backup for Slavia. You know? Like, I mean, let's be clear about, I don't want to tarnish perhaps the memory of Jan Laštovka, because this is a guy who has... I don't think
either Fulham or Spurs fans have that great memory.
Well, no, but yeah. I'm thinking actually more like he's over 100...
He was no Erik Thorstvedt.
Yeah. More than 100 appearances for Dnipro, when Dnipro were good in the Ukrainian league. Shakhtar Donetsk he was playing for. He is, as much as, you know, we scoff at this sometimes, he is capped for the Czech Republic. It's three matches, but still, that is something that does show you.
Also, capped when it was an incredibly, the Czech goalkeeping field was very, very strong. It was, you know, the sort of heyday of Petr Cech, a sort of, you know, young Václík coming through, like a very strong field. Yeah, and he's played for his country, played in European competition, played in the Champions League, Europa League and so forth, but... Yeah, he's just past it, man.
Yeah, I mean, it feels very much like Claude from Arsenal Fan TV, you know? It's time to go! It's like, because he is a keeper, but this is not just my opinion. Actually, my opinion on the Reznicek goal, and this, you might think this is just incredibly hard, I think his positioning is completely wrong as well. I think that if he positions himself well, he possibly has a chance at getting that as well.
He's a little bit no man's landy. He's sort of come out a little bit, and he's not. Yeah, he's not quite sure what to do with it.
And you know, it's. I mean, I often, you know, especially because I use him quite a lot. Some might say steal for the previews. Tom Danchek's wonderful Czech footy account, but he at the start of the season was basically saying goalkeeping could be a problem, and I think it's turned out that he's a complete liability. And what should actually be a really good centre back pairing. Is just making it worse. Obviously, it's good, and I think it shows a lot of really, you know, it shows a lot of stones for Zbrojovka to come back again this season from a goal behind and away from home. I think that's fantastic. I think that's something that we really need to celebrate. But also, like, Banik can't defend. Banik's defence is just a complete shambles. Banik's results with the management team they have and with the squad they have is actually incredibly worrying for them.
This is going to be my next question, actually. Who's going to go first? Is it going to be Pavel Vrba at Banik, or is it going to be Brian Priska at Sparta?
That's a really good question.
Knowing Sparta's predilection for absolutely jerking a knee faster than anybody else in this league.
Knowing Sparta, yeah, I mean, Sparta, the thing about Sparta is that they are, there's not as much damage being done, perhaps, as what's happening to Banik, because Sparta, okay, they are not playing well and they're drawing. Banik are not playing well, they're conceding and they're losing. And even when they're drawing, this is not very good. They spent a decent amount of time playing against 10 men against Hradec Králové.
Mm.
Couldn't get away through. This is supposed to be Vrba's swashbuckling, wide playing, excitement, target man finding Banik Ostrava, who were very close to getting Europe last season and were predicted by a lot of people to actually improve on that and get into one of the European spots. A lot of people thought they would finish fourth.
Yeah.
This is not the sort of form they're looking at. What's really lucky for Banik, though, and what's lucky for a lot of teams in this league who are struggling or not having the start that they want, and I realise we're pushed for time and I'm speaking a lot here, is that a lot of teams are losing and a lot of teams aren't playing that well. I think the difference between something like 13th and 7th is only something like 3 points, three or four points.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to work on. There's a lot still to be won.
Absolutely. So that was an incredible result, thanks to sort of nuclear force of Fat Man and Pretty Boy there.
I mean, it's quite good, because Ostrava itself looks like a bomb site.
Actually, that's a great segue, because we're about to find out what's the deal with Ostrava.
I just
tickled you, didn't it?
I just like a reference to one of the bleakest moments of history. Like,
as soon as the game finished, I wrote it down, because it was the first thing that came into my head.
Oh God, we're both pooter for having this podcast so long. Fucking hell.
So what is the deal with Ostrava? As I mentioned, we weren't there, but we have been before.
Yes, I think we've been before on separate occasions, actually.
Yes, I was there to watch Zbrojovka play Banik at Bazily before, you know, R.I.P. R.I.P. Bazily, a fine old stadium. Before they discovered there was a mineshaft underneath it and people were going through the pitch. So, alas, Bazily. Now not in use.
What's the first word that comes to mind when you're describing hotels in Torquay?
Ostrava, formerly known as the Steel Heart of Czechoslovakia, it's right on the Polish border, about 15 kilometres away, is now trying to invent itself as a city of art and sport, centred around the Dolní Vítkovice Steelworks. Did you go there, actually?
I have been to Dolní Vítkovice. It's cracking.
It's good, isn't it?
I really like it.
Do you want to describe sort of what the deal is with Dolní Vítkovice?
I mean, lots of metal-y bits.
Good. It is a massive former steelworks site, and it's turning into one of those very cool places where, like, there's a massive gas, like, former gas cylinder, which is now like a 1,500-seat theatre and cinema and auditorium. And, there's all sort of cafes and bars in, like, former sort of, you know, steelworking factory units and stuff. And there's lots of sort of grass bits to sit on as well. So it's nice to have a picnic. They have Colours of Ostrava there, huge music festival. And, it's a fabulously good reuse of a former industrial space. But, all of the former industrial buildings are still there. It's massive and hulking and terrifying and also brilliant. It's a great use of space.
My favourite bit about it is not actually going down into it yourself. It's actually on the tram on the way there. Because the tram on the way there, especially if you're coming from the Vítkovice side, like the side where the stadium example, and you're just on this sort of tram, and then suddenly the sort of the road seems to give way to almost like a monorail sort of thing, and you just sort of panoramic sort of in front of you is just sort of like Acropolis sort of thing. It's all, it's like something out of a science fiction novel.
It's
just, you know, especially on like a sunny day or night when it's lit up. Unbelievable. It's really cool.
Incredible. There are other industrial relics of Ostrava. The
Yarek Nohavit.
The Emma slag heap. A 350-meter high hill made of waste.
Dare from talk the, about my sister from, like that.
From, oh shit, yeah, of course. Sorry.
She's not listening.
Yeah, I know. It's a 350-meter high hill made of waste from the steelmaking process, and due to the heat from the still burning waste underground, snow never settles on the hill. Occasional plumes of white smoke appear, and grass and flowers grow on it all year round. You can climb up it if you want. There's a trailer. A trail.
It's a trailer. This summer.
One of my favorite Ostrava experiences was going up the Town Hall Clock Tower, the tallest Town Hall Clock Tower in the Czech Republic.
It's good as well.
Yes. And there was a party of tourists there who were being shown around and, like, you know, walked around the four sides and they were shown what they could see. And the tour guide said, oh, yes, over here you can see the Emma slag heap. It is the highest slag heap in the Czech Republic, which is, you know, wow, okay, great. And then one of the group said, well, what about that one behind it? That looks bigger. And she goes, yes, it is bigger, but it is in Poland. So, pride for the slag heap. Stadolny, apparently formerly legendary, now a bit crap.
Yes.
Watched
the Euro semi there.
Did you now?
I did.
Yeah, it was one bar open. Yeah, it's a street, or sort of like street with a couple of streets off it, with apparently around 60 bars and clubs, but I'll believe that when I see it. It used to be a bit Wild West. I used to go out with a girl from Ostrava very, very early on when I was here, and we went to Stadolny, and it was a bit mental. But yeah, considerably tamer now. The mining museum is great.
Oh yes,
if you've ever been, that's absolutely cracking.
Is that up at the park?
Yes,
whatever it's called again.
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head, but basically what it is there is a relatively dull exhibition on the surface about like mine rescue workers, the fire crews, and you know, sort of excavation crews and stuff, which is okay. But then if you want to go further in, you get given a hard hat and you go down in the lift and it takes you down and through the kind of periods of mining, and it is hellish. Like in the 20s and 30s, it must have been absolutely horrendous. You were on 12-hour shifts working in basically pitch blackness with no breaks. Basically, they were pretty much constantly drunk as the only way of dealing with it. And there is one point where they turn off all the lights and turn on all the machinery to give you an idea of what it's like, and it is apocalyptic. It's genuinely, like, you know, it's genuinely terrifying, and yeah, it's great. It's really, really good.
I just looked it up there, just for completion's sake, Landek Park.
Landek, thank you.
Because I've been up into the park itself. I've not been to the exhibition because Hannah wasn't really into it. And maybe this has possibly a lot about me, but the most exciting part of that trip to Landek Park was realizing that the Odra Petrkovice's ground is right beside the park as well. So I was like, oh, they played in the third tier.
Would you like some music from Ostrava?
Why not?
What do you think the dominant musical genre in Ostrava is?
Rap.
No.
Rock.
Yes. Specifically?
Metal?
Yes. Absolutely. So we're not doing that.
Good.
We're not using bands with names including Malignant Tumor, Salmonella Bitch.
I actually know Malignant Tumor.
Oh, really? Yeah. Salmonella Bitch, we're not using. Anal Sorcery, we're not using. Or the appallingly named Bow and Arrow from the Poo. There was one band I fancy called Fox in the Box, which I thought, you know, fitted quite well. Uh-huh. But the only thing they had on Bandzone was a 25-minute demo of somebody badly playing an out-of-tune guitar.
Ah.
So we're not using that. What we are using is Gamosfar with their song...
Gamosfar. That sounds like something for indigestion.
Well, this is their song, it might be a traditional melody. I didn't dig that far into this, but it's called Om Shri Sarasvataya, And Om Shri Sarasvataya is a Sanskrit mantra thought to bring guidance and inspiration in the arts, music, and literature. It evokes the power of the Hindu goddess Saraswati. They are an Indian folk group from Ostrava.
Fantastic.
So let's have a little burst of them. There we go. Do you feel more in touch with your artistic goddess?
Yeah, I suppose. Oh, it was very nice, wasn't it?
That's nice. Yeah. They just do sort of mantras and like you know meditative mantras over sort of traditional yeah. music.
It's so. Really, I think it possibly has rediscovered itself really in the last sort of 5-6 years or so, hasn't it, Ostrava? Because
yeah,
I was always
absolutely.
Told that Ostrava was crap. And then I went, to be honest, I went for the first time last year.
Mm.
And I actually really, I went before, but I only went to the stadium. I went to the stadium, watched Borovka and left. So it's my first time proper in Ostrava. And it was, I went for a romantic weekend with Hannah. We had two nights in a hotel. And it was actually very nice. There was a lot to do.
Yeah. So, yes, Ostrava, it's a place. Right, Bohemians Prague.
Yeah, oh yeah, that game, yeah.
Right, we played Bohemka on
Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. This Sunday just gone. And it wasn't great.
No, it wasn't great.
No.
Didn't enjoy it. Had the opposite of a good time.
Oh, right. It started badly with Bohemka carving out a chance immediately with a header that clangs off the bar, and in the melee, Endel boots Darijonic in the face, and it's a penalty with 3 minutes gone.
You'll not see a clearer penalty Darijonic, this
Petr,
season.
Petr-Hronik, sorry.
Yeah, you'll not see a clearer penalty this season.
Yeah. 1-0 after 3 minutes.
I just want to get my commentary out of the way right now.
Go on.
For the first 45 minutes, Petr Hronek absolutely beasted us.
I have absolutely the same comment. I've just written, Hronek pulled all the strings. He was brilliant. Yeah.
He was very good, yeah.
Much
to my disappointment.
I mean, even the fact like he was playing all the through balls, he was holding the ball up, he was just dictating everything. And even the second goal comes about because he can chuck it about half the width of the pitch as well. It's his long throw that's nodded on by Daniel Kustel, and Antonin Krapka bundles it in at the far post to make it 2. It's just the first half we were appalling. We were absolutely shambolic.
It was just dreadful. Like, I mean, we had forgotten how to play any semblance of football, frankly. There's a lot of people that you can pull up for just, in some cases, having their worst performance even in a Zbrojovka jersey. The thing that it sort of crystallized, to be honest, a lot of opinions that I thought I might have had about Denis Granichny.
Yeah, was there a comment on our Facebook? Is there going to be something about the Denis Granichny conspiracy, and you saying is the conspiracy that he's just not very good?
He's rubbish. Like, honestly,
he's
like,
not rubbish.
No, he's rubbish at the job that he is supposed to do. How's that?
He's not a very good defender. He was very good going forward.
Yeah,
second half, he was great.
We need a very we need a defender. We need defenders
true.
At this point. The front line can run itself, I feel, at this point. The things that really annoyed me are, I've never seen someone who is, you know, supposed, one of his big duties is he's supposed to defend, right? He flies into tackles like fucking Paul Scholes used to do. And Paul Scholes, you know, notable for never having a clean tackle in his life. That's because he's not a defender, right? It's just infuriating. And it's him, like, like, Bojanka just danced around him. He was always just sort of caught wrong-footed. And actually, the same thing was happening on the other side of the pitch as well, and actually through the middle. The amount of times that Bojanka on the left-hand side were able to get the ball, cut inside, and essentially just skin Endl was ridiculous. We desperately need another centre-back.
Mm.
I mean, I would still keep Endl, though I would note that since he's actually signed his new deal, they'll keep him at the club until 2025, he's apparently decided not to look very good at his job.
Yeah, but he's still so young.
He is still so young, but he's now been a regular for 3 seasons.
Sure.
And we need to start thinking about that. Shural's too slow for this league at this point, I feel. I really think we need to honestly look at the defence. Once we basically got guys to play left back and right back, we just didn't pay attention to it as a club.
Yeah.
So I think something really needs to be done. I don't think we can have somebody like Shural, who's a regular starter, because he was barely a regular starter at times in the second division.
It's a real shame that potential Buchta loan again fell through. That would have been tasty. I mean, tasty in more ways than one, old Buchta. Mm-hmm. But lol.
Another player that I think that you were having comments on during that half was Falta.
That was my second note. I've just written, can we abandon the Falta experiment already? Because he was shit against Banik. Almost cost us a goal by giving the ball away on the edge of the area. And he could barely pass it 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And there were words said after we signed him. And it looked like, this is a fairly solid... You know, he used to play for Pulse and he must be fairly solid. And many words of warning from the internet. And it looks like they're slowly coming true. It looks like... Basically, he gives me big... Yudka Texel vibes from the 6 months we had him when he signed before he
started getting competent.
Yeah, before he got Philip Lekker next to him. He might come good, but this is not the time when we have a fully competent Texel, Blecher, Shevchik combo in the middle to continue with this experiment further.
That's actually a really good point, actually, because also that it's about like, yeah, he might come good. But we're talking about coming good a player that isn't ours as well.
Whereas the other player
we have are ours, are under contract as Brojovka, could be part of the long-term development of this club.
Yeah,
He'll be going back.
Yeah, we cannot afford to keep somebody in that position where... like, and if we're going to continue to play this way, i.e. winning the ball in central midfield and sending balls wide, we need people who are competent enough to win the ball without fouling people and have the ability to pass it 10 yards to somebody more technical.
Absolutely. One thing as well, just to note before we move on from this half, is that I think in the first half alone, I counted 4 occasions where we just passed the ball out.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It was just, we haven't done that for some time, to be honest. I think actually how we've been on the ball this season has been reasonably good.
Yeah.
Just forgot a lot of the fundamentals.
Very, very quickly then, because we're running very short on time. 2 changes for the second half. Blecher makes way for Musa Ali and Falta gets hooked for Falsek. And it works immediately because on 47 minutes, Granicny plays the ball to Ali, who wriggles into the box, squares it to Shevchik, who dances the ball out from under his feet, fires into the top right corner.
Yeah.
It's a really nice goal.
The whole place just got energised.
Yeah. And then, second half, we were a different side, different team. 80 minutes, Shevchik manages to hoik the ball into the box for Reznicek to turn and force the ball home, but he's offside again. But, he's getting into those positions. I mean, he's already scored twice as many goals as he did for Teplice in his last top flight campaign.
Rejuvenated.
So, yeah.
Rejuvenated player. Yeah, I mean, we were just so much... I honestly thought we were just so much better than Bohemians in that half. Bohemians were holding on, really, at the end.
Yeah. Right, before we get into the next bit, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. Thank you all.
Jako ja, ty. Jen pro ty ve stylu Coco. Jako vy. Orion, vaše čokoládová hvězda.
Right, I did mention we had a new feature, but that's not important right now. We haven't got time for that. We will add it to the next episode where we might have less to talk about. So we're going to head straight into
Trinity's Lean.
Hello, Zlean.
Hello, Zlean. Zlean are back with a fancy new name.
They are.
Back once again with that sort of form of football.
With a crap behaviour.
13th place, Zlean. That sounds about right.
Sounds about right, yes.
7 points, 3 points behind us. I think shows a lot about what this league's about this season. We've got a game in hand, of course. They lost to Slavia and Banik.
One a surprise, one not.
Yeah. So beat Pardubice, who look like they're in real trouble.
Oh yes.
And got four draws. Three of them were 0-0. That's very clean. One of them, to be fair, is a credible point against Sparta.
That's
away
decent.
From
yeah,
Sparta.
Yeah.
But I would almost say that Zlean are exceeding expectations so far this season. Like last season, they finished 12th, which is, again, surprising because I thought Zlean the last couple of seasons were crap. So they were helped by a soft relegation group last season where they won one, lost one, and then you'll never guess drew three. Because they had 17 losses last season, which was third worst. Only really behind Teplice and Karvina, and one of them went down, and one of them had the playoff.
Yeah.
So
in any other year, that would be death.
Yeah, it's interesting how we have Zlín and Teplice coming up in the league, because Zlín and Teplice are most people's picks for 15th and 16th this time out. So
until Pardubice arrived with their
sure. But are you looking forward to seeing some Zlín players?
No, because I won't be there.
Of course you won't. I'm looking forward to seeing some Zlín players. Would you like to know who I'm looking forward to seeing?
Yes.
A name that we feel, you know, a name of someone who's never played for us but seems to come up every damn week on this fucking podcast, Jan Silny, Leishen's top scorer, who moved to Jablonec and finds himself loaned out there 5 months later.
Dear.
We are living the dream, boys. So his biggest contribution so far in the yellow of Zlín has been getting himself suspended for 3 games by kicking Jan Lestuvka in the head in their 3-1 loss
wow.
to Banik. So, perfect.
A Silny start.
Yeah. If he comes in, it'll be from the bench.
But not asked for. He'll just barrel onto the pitch.
Yes. Get yourself ready, David, because someone who's getting a bit more game time and has played every minute of the last 3 matches is Rudolf Reiter. So as is Rudolf Reiter's career, he just gets loaned to absolutely everybody. So he is, he's there till next year from Banik Ostrava.
Mm-hmm.
Zlín have played him as a right back every time he has been in a Zlín shirt. Would you like to know?
He's just, I feel a bit bad for him because he's just a human that gets placed on the pitch. Like, there's no, he doesn't have a position. He's just a man in a shirt who fulfills a duty.
You'll like this then, David.
Yeah, go on.
So, his, Zlín have only ever played him as a right back.
Good.
Right? For Zbrojovka, Rudolf Reiter has played in 16 appearances in a total of 719 minutes, out of which Rudolf Reiter has played as a right back for 8 of those minutes.
Yep.
And then spent a lot of his time injured. So
he is a man
prone to being injured. Am I looking forward to seeing him for old time's sake? Absolutely I am. Unfortunately, we won't be getting to see a couple of other really fun players because Tomasz Poznar is going to Bruk Bet in Poland.
Right.
And you'll remember Lukasz Wrasztiel.
I certainly will,
he's
yes.
He's gone to Sigma to live with all the other former Zbrojovka players. and Robert Matijov is, of course, warming our bench.
Mm-hmm.
Sheik Conde, who was their Ghanaian player. Where did he go?
Give me a clue.
Play in Switzerland.
Lausanne.
Went to Zurich. Okay. Not Grasshoppers, FC.
FC.
So he played a part in the Europa League quest already. He was playing against Hearts.
Week. I should have used that as an excuse to say Neuchâtel Xamax.
I do like Neuchâtel Xamax.
An incredible Xamax. Name.
That is a good one. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not entirely sure. I wasn't that bothered looking to see who they brought in. Because I saw the first thing that they brought in was Bartoszak from Karviná, and I was like, come on. So I wasn't sure about that. However, never to let us down. Once a diddy, always a diddy. They have signed a guy called Nedjeljko Kovinic, who's a 20-year-old centre-forward from a team in the Montenegrin second tier.
So brilliant.
I didn't even bother writing down the name. I just put, we shall see, on my notes here. There's a couple of talented players at Zlín, or some that we have seen before, actually. So you'll remember, this is going back a couple of seasons now, but we were incredibly complimentary at the time about Yuba Drame when he was playing, I believe, for Ústí nad Labem. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We really liked him.
We did.
I've not really been keeping up with Zlín in the top tier.
Because this was his big move, of course, wasn't it, Ústí to Zlín?
Frankly, David, life's too short for me to be keeping up with Zlín in the top tier, but he'll be a good one to see. And then everybody's favourite, Vukadin Vukadinovic. So he's still on his extended tour, which I believe is now 8 Czech clubs since 2009. So he's okay. I was slightly surprised that Zlín are favourites for this with Fortuna. Is this historic Sporovka form?
Possibly.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows indeed.
So, basically that's a whistle stop of Zlín.
Right.
I'm looking forward to it. There'll be a bunch of us going and you'll be sadly missed.
Yeah, I will be watching historic Formula One, historic Le Mans cars and historic touring cars at the racetrack here.
So. I will be looking at historic players like Vukadin Vukadinovic.
Not a
beer of the podcast. David, did you say not a beer?
I certainly did. Well heard, that man. I have got something that a few years ago gave me possibly the worst hangover of my entire life.
Okay, right. I'm trying to think of what gave you the worst hangover of your entire life. I immediately thought our trip to Dresden and then realised, no, that was the worst hangover of my entire life.
No, this was a combination of being on a boat for 8 hours and being in Finland.
Okay.
Right. So, now, I was in Lidl a while ago and...
I vaguely remember this, yes?
You vaguely remember me being in Finland or...?
Yes, and that you drank something, I remember, that made you feel terrible.
Yes, but far too many of them. That's the thing. If you have... a couple, they're fine. I was drinking them for 8 hours on an empty stomach until we had the free buffet at around 6 o'clock, where I'd only ate blood sausage and something with seaweed in it.
Where was this boat going? Wales?
And then I felt absolutely appalling the next day. But we went to see Inter Turku win, so, that was a good thing. Anyway, I've got for you 26 crowns from Lidl. Long drink.
Oh my god.
Long drink, if you're unaware, is the unofficial drink of Finland. It is a combination of a spirit, normally a light spirit, gin or vodka or something like that, with a juice, normally a fizzy juice. So it's normally like vodka and orange or gin and lemon or something like that in a small can. And they're about 5.5 or 6% each. And these are 26 crowns from Lidl. I don't know why or where they got them from, but here they are.
You are so playing into my hard seltzer loving sensibilities here.
Well, here we go. This is Carlin's gin and cranberry long drink.
Cheers.
So, cheers. Here we go.
Yeah, fucking right.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
This is... I know what I'm drinking on the train. on the way to Zlín on Saturday morning. That's delicious.
It's really nice, isn't
that it? Is really, really dangerous because I do not taste any gin whatsoever.
No, but it is, yeah, it's really dangerous. 5.5%. And also, it's a spirit, which, and spirits and me do not mix, ironically. Yeah. So, even one or two of these are just, absolutely dead. If you follow us on Facebook, you will see whenever we win, I try to put a picture of me doing a horrendous dab thing. That was on the Finnish boat trip, and I had many long drinks poured down my throat at that point by my friend Sandy. Hello, Sandy. You're not listening, but hey. This is what Finland tastes like.
That's, you know what? This is not make. This doesn't make great podcast time, but. Which little, or do you reckon that there might be in all of them?
Well, I found them in the one near the top northwest end of Lužanky.
Oh, my local one.
Sure, yes.
Great.
Yeah, it's one stop down on the trolley bus, eh?
It is, yes.
Exactly.
If you're incredibly lazy. Yeah.
Yeah, so there we go. Long drinks all around.
Superb. I mean, that's fantastic. That is. I'm pleased it's not a beer.
Shall we put the two previews together, or do you want to do them separately?
I would do them together, just because I'm realising that time is of the essence and listener patience can sometimes run out.
Okay, let's do that.
Hi, it's me again.
Hi, Sam.
Two more games.
That long drink getting to you then, is it?
It's very good, isn't it? I'm into it. We have, two more matches to talk about. And the first I want to say is a more like a bonus one.
Mm.
It's because, hey, Cup Football's back.
Yay.
And Cup Football coming back next Wednesday. So we will be taking the very long trip to Rosice.
To 20 minutes down the road.
Yes. Yeah, so
if you're very lucky, I might drive you.
Well, I'm hoping on this because, I mean, I might not be able to get out of work until, three or half three.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I might need your assistance there because this will kick off at either 5 or 5.30. I haven't seen yet. As with all games in the earlier rounds of the Czech Cup, the lower-ranked team or the lower-division team gets home advantage, and it's midweek. So we'll be going to Slovan. Last time we went to Slovan Rosice as Zbrojovka was 2018. Me and Pavel went that day, and it was a 2-0 victory to the home side, or to the away side even, I should say. And that was a very bad season. Goals by Petr Pavlík, remember him?
Wow.
And a bizarre Zezula own goal where he sort of rose like a salmon above everyone and just bullet-headed it into his own net. I remember particularly enjoying that goal. We should actually point out, because I wanted to point this out, to give credit to Slovan Rosice, because first of all, I really like their setup there. It's got a good wee stadium. There'll be a very noisy crowd there. A lot of Zbrojovka fans live in Rosice, and they go and see them on weekends that they can't make Zbrojovka. And also, they're second currently in MSFL, and they're unbeaten. So only Hanatska Slavia Kroměříž are better. And that's because they've got 100% record through six matches. So, yeah, could be a decent quality. Remember Radek Buchta?
I do remember Radek Buchta.
Guess where he plays?
The other Buchta.
Yes. So 64 appearances for Zbrojovka, mostly 2015, 2016, around the time I started going to see Zbrojovka more seriously. And, so he's playing for them now. So we'll hopefully get to see a bit of Radek Buchta. But I'm very much looking forward to that game. It's a nice change of pace. The cup,
it is, yeah.
Going somewhere just a wee bit smaller.
Yeah.
And,
As you say, it's a really good ground as well. Like it's sort of one main stand, but sort of built into a sort of a rockery. A weird rockery wall. It's really funky.
It's slight. I mean, you could make a very tenuous comparison, I suppose, with Unisi.
Yeah.
Liberec, sort of idea of a stand. But it's good. We saw a cracking game there actually a couple of years ago.
We
out of interest, and I think it was against Sigma Olomouc B, I think it was, or Zlínby or somebody, and Rosica scored one of the best goals I've ever seen at that level, where a guy just pinged it from sort of the halfway line, it felt like, and then sort of rifled in. Loved
it. They were a tiny but very noisy ultras section as well, like sort of eight lads and a drum. So
No, very good day out. Yes. What might not be a very good day out is
home to Teplice.
We should talk about this because why not? It's a podcast. So Teplice, 15th of 16, 15th of 18, 12th of 16, 10th of 16.
Classic Teplice.
That's a very, I thought, my immediate thought of that was a very Zbrojov kind of top tier set of finishes for the Sklaži. Of course. So they currently find themselves 11 after 7 games.
Sorry, the
Sklaži,
the glass boys. Yeah.
So that's what they're known as. They're 6-0 defeat to Slavia.
Glazers out.
Yeah, that seemed about right, doesn't it? I just wanted to throw this in for no reason. 6-0 defeat to Slavia seemed quite right because in the last 5 against Slavia, they have scored 3 goals and conceded 18.
Right.
But they did get a point. what is encouraging? Well, I was going to say, what's encouraging is they've had a win already against Banik, but everyone's beaten Banik.
Yeah, that was that insane game where they won and then went and celebrated in front of the 2 fans in the away sector. That was very sweet.
Yeah. They also came from a goal down to beat Jablonec 3-2. Everyone's beating Jablonec right now. That was a very, I think that was a very fun game. I'm pretty sure that Jablonec went 3-2 down and then just lost their head and got 2 guys sent off. Jablonec's the only team in the league that haven't won a game yet.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Shouldn't have loaned out Jan Silny, should you?
Well, you know, this is not good. Later in the season, we'll be hopefully going to Stinadlech.
Yes, looking forward to that.
Yes, so the 18,000-seater stadium, which averaged 2,653 supporters last season. But I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments because I thought we'd be quite late in this podcast. There's a lot to discuss.
Sure.
One thing that I think we've done is the pattern is emerging. And the pattern is emerging is that I do a preview and then I say that their top scorer has gone from a club.
Right.
So, in Teplice's case, Jan Fortelny and Jakub Mareš both got 4 goals last season.
Ah, Kuba Mareš.
Yes. So, okay, right.
Quick question. Is the poison dwarf still there?
32-year-old Alois Hitzka.
That's right.
The poison dwarf is still there 5.5 years after Alois leaving
Hitzka,
us.
Bless him.
2017, he transferred to.
That is still one of my all-time favourite social media posts. Is like as soon as he left for Teplice, the Zbrojov actually just piling on the poison dwarf. Come on. He's a fairly decent fullback.
Remember we beat them 4-0 and then they said they were talking about dwarf tears.
That was
a good one. Fortelny's gone back to Sparta because he was on loan. Would you like to know where Kuba Mareš has gone?
Always.
Okay, and he has gone to, I'm assuming, FC, Sport Union St. Martin im Mühlkreis.
I'm going to say Austrian, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Second, third, fourth?
Fourth tier is what I found. they don't really have much of an online presence. I did find out that they play in something called like Stadion something, which official capacity is 0. Jakub Mareš is 35 years old. He has had a long career in Czech football.
Yes.
This is him doing his business interests and going up on a Saturday paid by the game, isn't
this it? This is him doing a Standard Club Arsa when Standard Club Arsa left Jihlava at the age of like 27 and pissed off to Austria to run a business and do a bit of football on a Saturday.
Yeah.
This is exactly what this is.
Yeah, so this is it. Yeah, they didn't really look like they had many comings in, really. A couple of the players that are still there. Philip Jacques is still there of Blansko.
Philip Jacques works in civil service.
So, yeah, so he's...
It's steady employment.
This is good. But the most important thing, I think, is we are going to again see Daniel Fila.
Yes, Fila, he was loaned away, wasn't
Fila
he?
Fila getting yeah. passed around like a Crikey. Joint in this division. So that's his third club now in how many years? One. Going on loan for, I think, the whole of the season.
This very much feels like a move that was pushed for by the club, but Fila yeah. probably will not enjoy that much.
No. I mean, he'd probably enjoy it more if he came back to us for a loan. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure what we'd do with him.
I don't know, play him.
Well, yeah, back up for Kubo, I guess. But it looks anyway, like good.
So he might
academic
do,
now.
He
so.
Might do something there. But really, again, this is... when you think about what we were supposed to be playing, right? We were supposed to have Pilsen, and then we were having Slavia, and then Banik. And at the start of the season, you look at that and you go,
uh-oh.
Oh no. And then, you know, a week later, you have Bohemians, Zlín, Teplice. You're sort of thinking, we need 6 points from this run because we're going to get nothing in the first. And actually, beating Banik away is a good result. Losing to Bohemians is not, especially in the manner that we did so in the first half. So really, what we're looking to do here is to steady the ship again yeah. after
hashtag
a couple of
bounce back, yeah.
couple of wobbly results, and actually get some points on the board.
Yeah, yeah. The Banik away result was a bonus. So let's just hope we tidy up from Bohemka.
Can we play for more than 45 minutes in a match?
Well, that's the question, and we will find the answer soon enough, listener.
I think that's us, is it?
I think that certainly right. is us.
Time to go for a lie down, listener.
For a lie down with a long drink and then get up and watch the quizzes, which is what we're going
to
do.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to that all week.
It's the best bit of the podcast, watching University Challenge and Only Connect afterwards.
God, this is such married couple vibes coming from Zbrojovka Towers these days, isn't it?
As we go out, shout out to the three or four people who found us on the way out after the Slavia game. A couple of people came up, found us, and told us we were doing a great job and being, and I quote, on point. You said that sounds like an English phrase they just learnt and needed to throw it into conversation, but because we're very rarely on point.
This is true.
but yeah, thank you for everyone who is listening and continues to listen. And thank you for saying very nice things about us in person, which is incredibly nice to hear. Follow us on all the socials and we'll play you out with this thing.
Golf shot.
Bye.
When the girls get here, we'll talk about integrated circuits and things. To show them how smart we are. We'll set our hair on fire. Spill beer all over our t-shirts.
Accidentally,
we'll show them what kind of guys we are. When the girls get here, we'll do our little funky dance. To show them how cool we are. We'll throw our socks in the closet.
Where it keeps them warm.
We'll wear berets and dark glasses.
Not unlike a beacon.
We'll show them what kind of guys we are. Of our charm and our wit. But we don't need them. We've got lots of good friends. And we know that the real fun begins. When the girls get here. When the girls get here. When the girls get here. Show them what kind of guys we are.
think they're here now.